This is the Homestead Journey Podcast, the podcast dedicated to the pursuit of self-sufficiency, self-reliance, and sustainability. This is episode number 73 of the Homestead Journey Podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us here on the Homestead Journey. My name is Brian Wells. I am coming to you from 3B Farm and Homestead here in beautiful upstate New York. And folks, it is starting to get warm here on the homestead. Spring is in the air. Today, I was out doing chores in my shirt sleeves, and it's supposed to be up in the 50s. All of this week, we're supposed to get some rain, but it's that kind of fake spring because next week it's supposed to drop right back down into the 30s, I think into the 20s and 30s. So we're going to enjoy this preview of the spring that is to come. But yeah, it has been beautiful weather here on the homestead this week. And so let me just bring you up to speed with what we're doing here on 3B Farm and Homestead. This has been one of those weeks where I didn't do a lot of homesteading stuff. This week was one of those weeks where I really had an opportunity to lean into some of the things that I enjoy doing outside of homesteading, one of those being snowboarding. On Tuesday, my son and I had the opportunity to go to a local mountain, and it's a bigger mountain, Gore Mountain. It's about an hour and a half away from us, and do some riding. Now, well, I just got done saying that it's gradually warmed up throughout the week. At the beginning of the week, it still was pretty cold. And on Tuesday, it was extremely windy. We had planned on getting to the mountain about 8:30 in the morning, but it was single digits with 25 to 30 mile an hour wind gusts. And there was a wind chill advisory in effect with wind chills like 29 degrees below zero. So we waited a little bit and didn't get there until around 10:30, but had an absolute blast of a day. The top of the mountain, unfortunately, was closed. The gondola was closed because of the high winds. But what it did is it forced me to go over to an area that I had never been to before. It's a section of the mountain that really only has two trails and a bunch of glades. And in order to get there, there's this really long, flat traverse. And since I'm a snowboarder, that means a really long, flat hike. But because that was one of the only lifts that was running that day, we did go ahead and make the sojourn, we'll say, over to that area. And I really, really enjoyed it. The glades weren't open, but the two trails that were open are some of my new favorite trails at Gore Mountain. So anyhow, had an absolute blast. We actually went with my son's best friend, Isaac, who happens to also be a member of the troop that I'm the scoutmaster of. And so it was just an absolute blast of a day hanging out with those two knuckleheads. And yeah, just a great time of making some memories. This week actually was a week where 3B Farm and Homestead and the Homestead Journey podcast garnered a little bit of press. Now, when I call it press, we're not talking New York Times or Wall Street Journal or CNN or anything like that. But we were very fortunate and honored to be featured in one of our local newspapers this week. One of our friends, actually it's a lady that my wife used to work for, writes a column in that newspaper. And so she did a column this week with regards to homesteading. And so it was really, really a great honor and a privilege to be interviewed for that and to get out the good word of the good life to people that maybe aren't aware of what we're doing. And so that was very exciting. This week, I was also interviewed by Caleb over at Caleb Versus Self. That's a podcast. And this actually is a non-homesteading podcast. And so again, it was just a great honor and a great privilege to talk to somebody who had a lot of great questions, a lot of interest in homesteading, but is somebody who doesn't necessarily talk the talk and just really doesn't know all of the ins and outs of homesteading. And I'm sure his listening audience is not well acquainted with it either. So it was very, very exciting. I will make sure that I link to that in the show notes. But if you look for Caleb versus Self on any of the major podcast platforms, you'll be able to find it. Definitely give that a listen. And then, you know, give his podcast a listen. He does tackle a bunch of topics that I will never tackle here, and you may find them interesting. And so it was just a great honor to talk to him this week on that podcast. And finally, this week, I was interviewed by Brian over at the Drooling Moose podcast. Now, this is a relatively new podcast. Brian and his family are building an off-grid homestead up in Maine. And so I had a great time just chatting with him, talking homesteading, talking shop, so to speak. That episode has not been released yet. As soon as it is released, I will certainly link to it on all of our social media accounts. But jump on over and look for the Drooling Moose podcast. Give him a listen. He's had a lot of great guests on. And so I think you will find it very, very informative as well. And so the Drooling Moose podcast, an interview with Brian, Brian. Anyhow, it was a lot of fun. So keep your eyes and ears peeled for that. As far as homesteading stuff on 3B Farm and Homestead, if you follow us on Instagram or Facebook, and if you don't, why not? The links are in the show notes. But you will have seen this week that we finally got the seed starting system upstairs. And we actually have onions started. We have onion seeds planted, 7 different varieties, a few red varieties, a few white varieties, some yellow and Spanish style onions. And so I am actually using my Haas 162 cell seed starting tray for the onions. And I'm actually planting them in the style recommended by Charles Dowding over on his YouTube channel. And I'll put a link in the show notes to his great video on starting onions, but then also on how he transplants them outdoors and how he harvests them as they grow to maturity. So very, very excited about that. Another fun thing that happened this week is... Well, it actually happened this morning. I was at church. There's a number of people at our church that are gardeners. And there's one lady in particular who she and her husband grow a lot of hot peppers. And she and I chat back and forth, you know, how's your garden growing? And what have you got started? Have you got your seeds purchased? And all of that kind of stuff. And today she gave me a baggie here filled with all kinds of hot peppers. And folks, when I say hot peppers, these are wicked hot peppers. Things like devil's tongue and Dorset Naga. Some of these I've never heard of. Chiltepin, habaneros, Scotch bonnets, Trinidad scorpions, ghost hybrids, but Jalakia. I don't even know. So just a bunch of wicked hot varieties, and I am very, very excited about that. So I may have to add a few containers for peppers this year because I really wasn't anticipating having space in my garden for those. So I may have to get creative here, but we're definitely going to get some of those in the seed starting system. So I was very excited and thankful that she blessed me in that manner. Finally, just an update on the master bedroom. We don't have a date yet when they're going to come do the drywall and replace the windows, but I am doing the insulation. And so this week, I actually got about half of that done. Just kind of been taking it slow again. Very busy week doing some other things on the homestead. Planning on hopefully getting that finished up this coming week. But certainly, it does feel good to have that underway. And hopefully, it won't be long and we will be back into the master bedroom. Anyhow, that's what's been going on here on 3B Farm and Homestead. I hope this finds you well wherever you may be. Before we jump on over to this week's Charting the Course, if you would like to support the show, you certainly can do so in a number of different ways. If you don't mind, if you haven't already, jump on over to iTunes or your favorite podcast platform and leave me a review, a rating. I would greatly appreciate that. Also, if you could share the show with others, there are a number of you this week that gave me shout outs when people were looking for homesteading podcasts, and I greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much. You have no idea how much that means to me. You can also support the show financially by heading on over to our website, thehomesteadjourney.net/shop, and there you will find links to our t-shirt store with all of our fabulous t-shirt designs, as well as affiliate links to some products that we use here on the homestead. And they're not products just that we use, but products that we think you might find beneficial on your homestead as well. So check out those links. There are cookbooks and there are garden tools and just a lot of great things there. So definitely check that out. If you buy through those links, a portion of that does come back and help support the show. And I really, really do appreciate it. Having said all of that, let's jump on over to this week's Charting the Course. So this week's Charting the Course is the fourth in a three-part series on seed starting. Now, you may be saying, Brian, how in the world can you have a fourth part to a three-part series? Well, let me explain. When I started the series, I promised you three episodes, and my plan was to do an episode on what to start, when to start, how much to start, and we did that. And then I was going to do an episode on the six basic things that you need for seed starting, and we covered that. And then I was going to wrap it up with how we start seeds on 3B Farm and Homestead, and that's what we covered on last week's episode, episode number 72. What I wasn't going to do was an episode on hardening off plants. At least I wasn't planning on doing that right away. I believe I mentioned in one of the episodes that I was going to cover that topic later on, but I wasn't planning on doing it right away as part of this series. But this week, as I was scrolling through some of the homesteading and gardening groups on Facebook, I saw a lot of people asking questions about hardening off plants. What does that mean? How do you do it? When do you start the process? And it really got me to thinking that no series on seed starting is going to be complete until you cover that crucial step. You see, you can have all of the right gear. You can do everything right. You can have beautiful seedlings. But if you don't harden them off properly, 9 times out of 10, all of that hard work, effort, energy, and money is going to be wasted because your seedlings are probably going to die. In fact, the two most common mistakes I see people who are new to starting seeds make is, first of all, they don't have their lights close enough to the seedlings, and so you end up with leggy plants. And secondly, they don't harden their plants off properly, and they end up killing them. And I certainly don't want you to end up with dead seedlings. So that's why I've added this fourth in the three-part series, because I don't want to leave you hanging. I want to help you all the way from beginning to end to be as successful as you can in starting seeds from scratch. So first of all, what does it mean to harden off seedlings? Well, this is simply how we describe the process of preparing them for life outdoors. If you stop and you think about it, we have been babying these little plants, right? We have sown them and cared for them in the most optimal conditions. We've given them the best light and the best temperature. We've protected them as best we can from the harsh elements. But we know that Mother Nature is not going to be like that. We know that life outdoors is going to be many times less than optimal. And so we need to prepare these seedlings as best we can for what they are going to face once they are outdoors. Now, this is a process that really isn't complicated, but it really shouldn't be rushed either. And it certainly should not be skipped. Now, there are a couple of things that, in my opinion, you can do to start preparing your seedlings while they're still in your seed starting system, long before you ever move them outdoors. The first has to do with water. In my opinion, perhaps the third biggest mistake people make when starting seeds is they overwater their seedlings. Now, many times you're going to see this because you're going to have yellow leaves or moldy soil or dampening off of your seedlings. But overwatering is also going to lead to weak seedlings that are going to struggle to thrive when you put them outdoors. Now, certainly when you are waiting for your seeds to germinate, you want to keep the soil moist. You don't want to let it dry out at all. But once your seedlings start to grow and have become established and they've put out their second, maybe set of true leaves, at that point, you do want to start dialing back your watering somewhat. And maybe not water them every day, maybe go to every other day. And then maybe as they get a little older, you reduce your watering down to every 3 or 4 days and allow them to start to dry out. Now, I'm not advocating that you allow them to dry out all the way, okay? We're not wanting to let them die of thirst. But on the other hand, allow them to go through a few ebbs and flows with regards to water. And I think this really starts mimicking what they're going to face outdoors, because even if you are someone who is going to irrigate your garden, you're going to water it on a daily basis, your seedlings are still going to face times because of temperature, because of wind and so forth, where they're not going to get all of the water that they perhaps want. And so as my seedlings get towards the end of their time in the seed starting system, I always move to lessening the amount of water that I give them to help prepare them for life outdoors. The second thing you can do while the seeds are still in your seed starting system is to begin their acquaintance with that thing we call wind. Now, again, you want to wait until they have at least their first and preferably their second set of true leaves. But you can start this process by simply running your hand across the top of those seedlings very gently a couple of times a day. Again, this is going to simulate wind blowing across them, and it's going to help stimulate a stronger central stem. Once you've done this for a few days, you then might want to consider moving up to an oscillating fan. Now, you don't want to put it directly on the seedlings, and you definitely don't want to have it on high. We're not trying to simulate tornadoes or hurricanes or anything like that. But having that oscillating fan just blow gently across the seedlings, again, is going to simulate them facing wind when they are outdoors. You're going to want to do this gradually, maybe the first day that you do this, maybe 5 or 10 minutes. And as you do it, move the fan around so that it's not always coming from the exact same direction. Increase it slightly each day, and don't worry about having the fan on for extremely long periods of time, but definitely help them become accustomed to the wind that they're going to deal with outdoors. And keep in mind that with the increase in airflow, it is going to cause them to dry out a little bit quicker. And so you are going to need to keep your eye on their watering needs. Now, if you don't have an oscillating fan and all you have is a fixed fan, you can still do this. But instead, what you're going to do is either rotate the seedlings. So if you've got them in a tray, move them around, or move your fan around from point to point to point so that it simulates the wind coming from different directions as if they were outdoors. Keeping in mind that you want to do this on a low setting and kind of indirectly off of your seed starting system a little bit. And certainly we're not wanting to, you know, blow them out of the out of the trays or anything like that. So a low setting and then gradually increase it over time. And both of these things, decreasing the water a little bit, increasing the wind action a little bit, are going to really help them begin to toughen up and be ready for life outdoors. So when do you begin moving them outdoors? Now, some people will tell you 10 to 14 days before last frost date. However, I don't necessarily think this is fully accurate, as there are some things, like the onions that I started this week, for example, that you can actually transplant out before your last frost date. Some people might tell you to start 10 to 14 days before you plan on transplanting them outdoors. To me, this is a little bit more accurate, but I still don't think it's totally correct. To me, you really want to start the process when the conditions are right. So look at your long range forecast. If you need to start the process a few days earlier than the 10 to 14 days because the conditions are better, it's much better to have the transplant stay in their containers a few extra days after they've been properly hardened off instead of trying to rush the process and stress your seedlings. In my opinion, this is a process that should not be rushed. If it means that you're a few days later than you would like to be when transplanting things, so be it. You want to make sure you properly harden off your plants to have the best success in the long run in your garden. So when I talk about the conditions being right, what are the conditions we're looking for? Well, really what we're looking for is a day and really a range of days where your temperatures are going to be above 45 degrees and preferably above 50 degrees. You don't want to do it on days when you have extreme winds or extreme rain. You don't want to do it in extreme weather. And you really are looking for an overcast day if possible. Now, you certainly can do it on a sunny day, but if you have a run of 4 or 5 days or whatever of overcast skies, that's much better than putting them out on a scorcher of a day. Again, we're looking to gradually acclimate our seedlings to the outdoors. So as you look at your long-range forecast, if you see that rain is in the forecast for the weekend that is going to start your 10 or 14 days, you might want to wait until after that. Or you might want to start it maybe a week earlier than you had anticipated, because then by the time the rain comes around, your plants will have been conditioned to be able to at least handle that level of volatility outdoors, even though you would still want to probably keep them somewhat protected. One other thing that you're going to want to make sure that you do before you move them outdoors is you are going to want to make sure that they are well hydrated. You're going to want to water them well before you start this process outdoors. The basics of hardening plants off is really to introduce the plants to the outdoors a little at a time, basically an hour or two each day. The first day, you'll want to put them outdoors for an hour in a very sheltered place, minimal sun and minimal wind. And at the end of that hour, move them back indoors. The next day, extend it to a couple hours in the same spot. And at the end of that time, move them back indoors. And then after 2 or 3 days of doing this, then you may want to gradually start moving them out into areas that are less protected. So gradually begin exposing them to more sunlight and maybe a little bit more wind. Now, you're not going to want to expose them to gale force winds right off the bat. But if there's a gentle breeze blowing, then maybe for an hour you expose them to that and then move them back to the protected spot. And again, you just keep increasing this day by day by day. Now, provided that the temps are above 45 degrees overnight, you can then start leaving them outdoors in a protected area overnight, probably once they have reached 6 to 8 hours outdoors of various conditions. Keep in mind that if you free range your ducks and your geese and your chickens, they're going to see these seedlings as a buffet, a smorgasbord. And how soul-crushing would that be to have gone through all of this effort and energy just to have your ducks and your chickens and your geese happily munch these down? Also, keep in mind where your cats and your dogs are, because you don't want them knocking them off the porch or knocking them off the table where you have them. Just keep in mind where your livestock, whatever it may be, is, and also protect your plants from them. Now, for me, how do I do this? Well, I'm very blessed because I get to come home for lunch every day. So I start by putting my transplants out on our front porch, which is fairly well protected for my lunch break. The first day I put them out there, and then when it's time for me to go back, I just move them back indoors. The second and the third days, I actually wait and put them out when I get home from work. I get home around 4 o'clock each evening. And so I'll put them outside and just extend it to 2, then to 3 hours. So the fourth day, I put them out when I get home from lunch, and then I leave them into the evening. And actually what I will do is at this point, I will move them out into our front yard where we have a lot of dappled shade. And so as the sun moves through in the afternoon, they're exposed to different levels of sunlight. The fifth day, I put them out before I leave for work. And then I bring them in when I get home again. And again, I put them out in the dappled shade. At this point, what I start doing is exposing them to more sunlight. The one end of our porch receives a good amount of afternoon sun. And so then what I start doing is rotating the plants through that area, and I keep increasing the time outdoors. And usually by day 10, I am leaving them outside overnight on our porch, and I have them in direct sunlight during the day. And then as soon as I'm ready to transplant them, I do. Now, I know for people who work full-time jobs who don't have the blessing of being able to come home for lunch, this may be a little bit more difficult. You may need to time this a little bit better than I have to. So you may have to start putting your plants outside in the evenings, for example, when you get home. So maybe you start doing this on a Tuesday. And then by Saturday, you can leave them out for 6 hours. Sunday, maybe you push it to 8 hours. And then maybe you need to put them in areas with shade cloths to protect them some during the heat of the day, but you allow them to be exposed to morning and afternoon sun. So certainly for you, this process might be a lot more complicated than it is for me, but it certainly is within the realm of possibilities. You're just going to need to have a bit of a more detailed plan going into it. To sum it all up, we're looking at a very gradual process of exposing your plants to sun and to wind and to the elements outdoors. And so how that works out well for you may be slightly different than how it works out for me. But gradually do it over time. And again, this isn't fixed. It's not like there's a magic, oh, you have to do exactly 1 hour today and exactly 1 hour, 2 hours tomorrow. We're talking ballpark. So if you start out with a couple of hours today and it's in a sheltered spot, and then maybe tomorrow you go to 3 hours in a sheltered spot, we're talking about gradually accustoming them to the outdoors. So do what works well within the confines of your schedule, but do it gradually so that you do not stress them out. If you have any questions or comments, let me know. You can reach out to me, brian@thehomesteadjourney.net. I'd be glad to answer any questions, or if you disagree with me, let me know that. If you think I've misspoken, I'd be glad to have that conversation with you as well. And if you're someone who has a full-time job where you aren't home during the day and you have a good system for hardening off plants, let me know. I'd be glad to share that with the listening audience, and definitely would be more than happy to give you full credit for it. And so again, reach out to me, brian@thehomesteadjourney.net, and let me know that. As always, the music on this episode was provided by audionautics.com. So a big shout out to them. And until next time, everybody, keep up the good work.